and a new chance to create, okay? So may the deserts have water, may the storms calm down, may the snows lighten up, may the babies laugh, and may your ears remain open. So in poetry, in music, in knowledge, in peace, security, and longevity, come on and step into the time flow with us. Come on, let's go, let's go.
And you're listening to Saturday Morning Live. We're back live. Yay! And in studio with me is, of course,
Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, speaking to you from Toronto, Canada.
So we have a packed up show today. What are we doing on the top of the hour?
The top of the hour, I think we're going to be... At 12 o'clock?
Yes.
I think we're going to be playing something about the film on the Maroons that was screened last night at the U of T. And we did an interview with the producer-director in February. And we think it's very good to Roy Anderson to let people hear that interview again, because the film is ongoing. He's still trying to promote it. So we're going to help him promote his film, and hopefully it's going to be on DVD, or it might be on DVD now. So we want to deal with the film on the Maroons by Mr. Anderson.
Cool. And then at 11:30, we, of course, have the Horn Report with Dr. Gerald Horn.
And he'll be talking about Syria. I guess that's the hottest issue, the whole question of Zimbabwe. And Cuba is sending a whole bunch of new doctors to Brazil, and of course we'll be talking about how Russia is going to respond to the Syrian situation. So we have a action-packed show with Dr. Horn.
And at 11 o'clock we have Amanda via CHRY from our new program that we're as a sister program up in CHRY called African Perspectives. So we'll have a snippet of their show. And then at 10:30, we have, I have an interview with this event around Haiti. I actually met her. Her name is the Networking Diva, and she has been supportive of the Diaspora Travels project. So
that's your film.
Yeah, so she came to the art show that I had a year ago. So she's having an event, and she goes to Haiti every year as well. So, yeah, we're going to have her. She'll talk about her event.
We also have Mumia Abu-Jamal, right?
Yes.
And there's an event in St. Petersburg, Florida today, where the director is going, the director, Steve Victoria, who we've had on Saturday Morning Live, as well as Diasporic Music. He's going to be speaking through Skype in St. Petersburg, and then they're having Chairman O'Malley Ishitella and Naya Binga, Zimbabwe, and I think JR from the Bay, JR is from the San Francisco Bayview, one of the best newspapers in the U.S. of A., and that's going to be taking place, I think, starting around 2 o'clock today.
Cool. So we're going to go right to Mumia Abu-Jamal, and we'll be back at 10:30.
For well over a decade since the events of 9/11, the group Al-Qaeda has performed quite a service for the West and its imperialist ambitions. Since then, the Mideast has been hurled into hell, and Iraq has joined Afghanistan as places to flee from, to get away from as quickly as possible. No one can dare to honestly say that things are even remotely better in any occupied state. Nations split asunder by Western arrogance, paranoia, greed, and fear. Since the invasions by the U.S. and its so-called allies, communities have fallen into sectarian wars, and Western-supported leaders have given puppetry a bad name. Iraq has become a bloody curse, a den of hatred and corruption. To the imperialist, this is progress, for it is easier to exploit. And now, in the name of the so-called war on terror, new wars are being bred in the Arab world, in North and East Africa. New intrusions on the rights of Americans, the right to the explosion of the national security state, complete government surveillance of every American communication, of every privacy. Just several months ago, the Obama administration announced that Al-Qaeda was on its heels, its leaders droned into eternity, its followers scattered. Today, the whole of Northern Africa, an area larger than the U.S., is on high alert because of Al-Qaeda chatter. Are they on their heels or on the run? It doesn't look like it, as 22 embassies closed their doors. Al-Qaeda came into being, researchers say, because of the training and money of British, Saudi, and Pakistani, not to mention American intelligence. They needed them to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan. They are what they made them, yet they remain instruments of empire. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Ahe a Mexico. Viva John Africa. Queridos hermanos e hermanas. Querido subcomandante insurgente Moises. Querido subcomandante insurgente Marcos. Queridas comunidades zapatistas. Queridos hijos e hijas de la escuelita zapatista. Buenos días. Bravo el movimiento zapatista por los pobres, los campesinos, los pueblos de las montes de México. Me llamo Mumia, un amigo afroamericano de Norteamérica. Gracias por la invitación a la escuelita zapatista. Sus maestros y maestras proveyeron una vista del mundo de lucha y revolución. Mis amigos, la historia de los afroamericanos es su historia también. En los días oscuros de cautividad, México fue una casa de libertad para africanos e indios escapados de Estados Unidos, una casa de esclavitud. Hijos e hijas de Emiliano Zapata, lean, estudia y aprendan el mundo que ustedes heredarán. Mis amigos, de los presos del capitalismo, soy Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Trayvon who? If the media is any measure of the mood of the masses, then the sound and fury of the Trayvon Martin case is over. In place of the rage of protest is now silence, and the beast, the media, moves on in search of new prey. A missing white female? A windfall from a state lottery? An Obama-Putin dust-up? Cool. The rage of millions now gets pushed under the dark waters of yesterday to bubble briefly and drown in the muck and mire of memory. As for leaders, both civil and political, aside from lame efforts to repeal laws, they have no idea how to attack the situation, and they return to their primary jobs to keep the masses cool, to tamp down their furious anger, to keep a false peace. And things just get worse and worse. National civil rights groups, tied at the hip with the Democratic Party, work in tandem to keep the many cool, lest true resistance arises. Late great scholar activist Manning Marable, in his 2002 work, The Great Wells of Democracy, noted how local activists, often at odds with national groups, pushed for change and used imagination, insight, and grassroots power to build movements against police violence against black people. Wrote Marable, such struggles bring into the public arena diverse and sometimes contradictory ideological and social forces. In the Cincinnati grassroots resistance movement, a wealth of new ideas were brought out in public brainstorming sessions, especially in the areas of public policy issues and economic development. Marable concludes, virtually unnoticed at the local level, in hundreds of black communities across the nation, successful models of resistance are flourishing. Trayvon Martin's life and sacrifice is too precious to be left in the hands of politicians. People must organize, 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 to quote the late revolutionary Kwame Ture, to build resistance movements to protect and defend black life. It must begin, as all life begins, at the grassroots, from imprisoned nation. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio. Sacco and Vanzetti. It's been 86 years since the August 23rd, 1927 electrocution of two Italian-born anarchists in Massachusetts. The two men, Ferdinando Nicola Sacco and Bartolomeo Vanzetti, were charged with killing two men during an armed robbery of a shoe factory in South Braintree, Massachusetts, in 1920. Numerous witnesses put the men in different places on the date and time of the robbery killings. According to witnesses, Sacco was in Boston's North End and Vanzetti was in Plymouth. But such reports were to no avail, and both the court and press concentrated on the men's anti-capitalist and anarchist beliefs, which was projected as evidence not only of their radicalism, but of their guilt. There was substantial conflicting evidence, both of ballistics and alleged eyewitnesses, but all of this was beside the point. When the two men were arrested, they gave false names, more likely than not because they feared deportation, and they were armed. When pressed to explain in court why they were armed, they explained that they were anarchists, and by so doing, perhaps prejudiced the jury all the more. When the two men filed post-trial motions, of course, after their conviction, seeking a new trial, Judge Webster Thayer told a Dartmouth College professor, "Did you see what I did to those anarchist bastards the other day?" What he did was deny them a new trial. One of their many supporters was a Harvard law professor, Felix Frankfurter, later a U.S. Supreme Court justice, who wrote a piece showing their innocence, published in the Atlantic magazine. In his speech before the court, Vanzetti made the following moving observations. "I found myself compelled to fight back from my eyes the tears and quench my heart troubling to my throat to not weep before him. But Sacco's name will live in the hearts of the people when your name, your laws, institutions, and your false god are but a dim remembering of a cursed past in which man was wolf to the man." Sacco and Vanzetti were executed on August 23rd, 1927. In 1977, the governor of Massachusetts issued an edict clearing the two anarchists 50 years after their electrocutions. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Mexican and international supporters of the Mayan-led Zapatista movement are returning from the indigenous villages where they spent the past week participating in an initiative known as the Escuelita, or Little School. The purpose of the school was to share insights and methods about the Zapatistas' autonomous government. The Zapatistas sent special invitations to a short list of distinguished guests, among them imprisoned journalist and FSRN commentator Mumia Abu-Jamal. With assistance from Prison Radio, FSRN spoke to Abu-Jamal this week about the Escuelita and the anniversary of the Zapatistas' so-called good government councils.
Far too often, Norteamericanos, even so-called leftists, adopt a superior, in fact, an imperial attitude, as if we should teach others how to struggle or resist. Instead, experience is the best teacher. And in the last decade, at least, we've seen autonomy sprout into communities rich with equality and the dignity of self-governance. In a word, freedom in Chiapas. And Chiapas is the belly button of empire in Mexico.
Zapatista good government councils also administer their own system of basic services, including schools and clinics. While the little school for teaching outsiders about their government system began this week, the Mayan rebels have been running their own education system independent of government funding for years.
Education in the empire teaches hegemony, false history, racism, and that imperialism is a good thing. The Zapatista communities are relearning the knowledge of the first peoples, so-called indigenous people, and teaching a powerful and subversive way of living in the world, of community, of commonality, of balance with all living things, of respect for Mother Nature. Of course, we get the exact opposite in the empire. We get isolation, materialism, and really war against Mother Nature and the whole world. That's worthy of learning. That's worthy of teaching. In the words of that great historian, C.L.R. James, every cook can govern. All of us can learn.
January 1st will mark the 20-year anniversary of the uprising in Chiapas. Abu Jamal noted that it coincides with the passage of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which the rebels called a death sentence for Mexico's indigenous peoples.
Both Mexico and the U.S. unleashed the dogs of war, Mexican oligarchs in Chiapas, the U.S. in the Middle East. The imperial forces cannot tolerate any spark of resistance to the ownership of the entire world. The Zapatistas are a thorn in their side, and they are growing.
That's Mumia Abu-Jamal speaking from SEI Mahanoy Prison in Frackville, Pennsylvania, on the anniversary of the inauguration of the Zapatista civilian governance system known as the Good Government Councils. This audio was recorded by Prison Radio's Noel Hanrahan.
Fire on the Nile. Once again, power is in the hands of the military of Egypt. And once again, the military has distinguished itself by its brutal ruthlessness against Egyptians. They, the armed mainstay of the now fallen dictatorship of Hosni Mubarak, have never accepted nor adjusted to the political rise of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now we see the hand of their awful vengeance. According to Western accounts relayed from the military dictatorship, hundreds of Egyptians have been slain by the so-called security force. In truth, few outside of Egypt know the real number. It may be in the thousands. Months ago, when Tahrir Square was the epicenter of the Arab Spring, I called the situation Mubarakism without Mubarak. It looks clearer now. Tanks, automatic weapons, and secret police unleashed on Egyptians. A government trying to use state terror to silence legitimate dissent. We've seen this before when Islamic political parties won elections in Algeria. They too were silenced by Western-supported military, determined to use anti-democratic means to form farcical governments. Democracy is a sham in Egypt and beyond. It was trampled under the treads of Egyptian tanks. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
This is Father Paul, brothers, sisters, on the move. All power to the people. Thank you for sharing some of your precious time with me. I can't think of Father Paul Washington and the Church of the Advocate without thinking of freedom, justice, and equality. Many years ago, I think it was 1968, the Black Power Conference was held there, a gathering of people from every corner of black political life trying to find a way to freedom. Father Paul made all welcome by opening his doors and his hearts to people from across the black nation, like Stokely Carmichael, later to be known as Kwame Ture, Kathleen Cleaver, and Sister Falaka Fatah. People sought ways to breathe a little freer in Philadelphia and black America. Several years later, the Black Panther Party would be welcomed there as they organized their Revolutionary Constitutional Convention for activists from around the nation to create a new anti-imperialist constitution for a new America, one yet to be born. Party members stayed at the church, writing leaflets, making phone calls, resting after cross-country trips, or days spent organizing. Father Paul made them all welcome when few other places would have dared. Father Paul Washington, with his stentorian, thundering voice, welcomed all to the Church of the Advocate, for he cared deeply for what he called his other sheep. After the MOVE attacks and the police bombings of MOVE's house on Osage Avenue, Father Paul opened his doors again and again and again. Other sheep have I, he said. I remember him with respect and affection as a special man and a remarkable clergyman. He opened the church for women when he ordained them, finding the divine equally in women as in men. Other sheep, he said. I am honored to be among his flock to receive this award. I thank you. On the MOVE, long live John Africa, and long live the memory of Father Paul Washington. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Celebrating, celebrating? Soon, TV screens, newspaper pages, and radio stations will replay, reprint, and rebroadcast dark, grainy, black-and-white film, photos, and gritty audio tape of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, his I Have a Dream speech, in a hypocritical celebration of the 50 years since that fateful day in 1963 in Washington. I'm always troubled at such occasions, for it is on days such as these when it becomes clear as crystal how things have gone so badly for far too many. We celebrate a speech, but not the man. We celebrate an event while ignoring and disappearing our horrendous present, one of such vast inequality that it stuns the imagination. The prison system is a shame of global proportions, and we need not even address our secret prisons, black sites of torture and death, our state and federal prison systems, and the immense array of solitary confinement units are bad enough. The school system is crumbling quicker than icebergs in Antarctica. Teachers are demonized, disrespected, and driven out of schools to make room for private charter schools and private profit. School systems are but training grounds for prisons and places children go to where their brains die. And housing? The corporate thieves and crooks of national banks and Wall Street financiers stole more wealth by their illegal manipulations of mortgages than any criminal enterprise in history. According to writer Laura Gottesdiener, author of the new book, A Dream Foreclosed, over 10 million people, that's right, 10 million people have been thrown out of their homes in recent years due to the foreclosure crisis. In economic terms, this means that some 19.2 trillion, was destroyed, according to the U.S. Treasury Department. Black Americans have lost more wealth in the last 10 years than at any time since Reconstruction. Similarly, Latino homeowners have suffered disproportionately from the housing foreclosure crisis. Martin King spoke about economic justice, not merely about dreaming. His economic message has been drowned in the drama over dreams. Black politicians, many of whom have been well paid off to buy their silence about this massive house-stealing scheme, have turned their eyes from the carnage whipping through black America. Yet, there will be celebrations. There will be smiling faces. There will be bells and whistles, pomp and praise. But King will have become a silenced puppet of the very political forces that opposed him while he breathed. King was an ardent foe of materialism, militarism, global imperial war, and racism. Those forces are wreaking havoc on his people and the poor of the nation, for we have spent 50 years going in the wrong direction. From Imprisoned Nation,
This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Celebrating, celebrating. Soon, TV screens, newspaper pages, and radio stations will replay, reprint, and rebroadcast dark, grainy, black and white film, photos, and gritty audio tape of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, his I Have a Dream speech, in a hypocritical celebration of the 50 years since that fateful day in 1963 in Washington. I'm always troubled at such occasions, for it is on days such as these when it becomes clear as crystal how things have gone so badly for far too many. We celebrate a speech, but not the man. We celebrate an event while ignoring and disappearing our horrendous present, one of such vast inequality that it stuns the imagination. The prison system is a shame of global proportions. And we need not even address our secret prisons, black sites of torture and death, our state and federal prison systems, and the immense array of solitary confinement units are bad enough. The school system is crumbling quicker than icebergs in Antarctica. Teachers are demonized, disrespected, and driven out of schools to make room for private charter schools and private profit. School systems are but training grounds for prisons, and places children go to where their brains die. And housing? The corporate thieves and crooks of national banks and Wall Street financiers stole more wealth by their illegal manipulations of mortgages than any criminal enterprise in history. King was an ardent foe of materialism, militarism, global imperial war, and racism. Those forces are wreaking havoc on his people and the poor of the nation. For we have spent 50 years going in the wrong direction. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.